Welcome to this week's service from the Western Heights Uniting Church. We're still not allowed to meet physically in the same location. And so this is what we're doing to meet the situation that we're in, to meet the needs of the pandemic. Our church has agreed that we don't want to meet together if there's any chance that in doing so we might harm someone in any way. We've also agreed that we don't want to meet together if by including some people in worship, we're excluding others. So we want to be able to meet when we can open the doors and say, everybody is welcome. I want to say a thank you to those people who have contributed to our food bank donations. We've taken quite a few loads over to Barwon Uniting. And your generosity, your kindness, your compassion is somebody else's blessing. So thank you very much to those who do it. We leave the trolley out on Wednesdays and Fridays whenever we're here. And then when we've got a load, we take it across. This week, we're going to be looking at the fourth chapter in Tom Wright's book. Well, at least that basic theme. What did the first Christians do when they were faced with a situation where there was mass suffering? And that follows on from last week, where we had a look at what Jesus did when he met up with suffering. Never about recrimination, trying to find out who's to blame. He was always on about trying to restore people to the image of God that was already there in them, but sometimes had been distorted by the circumstances of life together. Today's service is also a communion service. So if you would like to share in the bread and the wine with those who are watching this service, you might like to go and get something that you could use as bread and wine for that part of the service. We're going to be playing a hymn in a couple of minutes, so that might be a good time to go and get it if you haven't already. I'm going to light a candle, a symbol that Christ, the light of the world, lights our way, directs our paths, particularly in difficult times. We all carry things with us that we've gathered along the way that we've really loved. One of the things I really loved was the theme that the United Reformed Church in Britain adopted while I was there. And that theme was the theme that governed our directions as church for a few years. Walking the way, living the life of Jesus today. I think that's a great theme, and I'd like to leave you with that thought as we take some time out now to listen to that hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. I'll say it again, walking the way, living the life of Jesus today. I hope God blesses you as you share in this service with us today.
Restored, forgiven, who I made was precious.
Chapter 11, and I'm reading from verses 25 to 30. And it picks up the very early days of the church. At this time, the Christians are still called the people of the way. And the narrative starts at verse 25. Barnabas, his name meant the encourager, he went to Tarsus to look for Saul. You recall that Saul had recently been converted. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year, they associated with the church, and they taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. At that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and he predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine all over the world. And this took place, actually, during the reign of Claudius. The disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to the believers living in Judea. And this they did, sending it to their elders by Barnabas and by Saul. I hope God gives us understanding of this reading. The Antioch church is a young church. It's a very young church. They're still being called the people of the way. We're told in Luke's narrative that we call the Acts of the Apostles, this is the first place they're called Christians. They're growing. They're excited about the faith that they've discovered. They're excited about this concept of people being one in Christ, transcending the barriers of Jews and Gentiles. And into the midst of this excited young church come some people from Jerusalem. Of course, Jerusalem is where the apostles are based. It's James is leading the church there. Peter's up in Jerusalem. It seems to be the hub. And one of them, obviously a very respected person, who's seen as being very close to God, a man called Agabus. He says, by the Spirit, St. Luke tells us, that there's going to be a very widespread famine. Now, this word isn't told to them for no reason. And so the church starts to think about what's our responsibility here. Now, the Judean Christians, they're not in an easy place. They're going to be ostracized because they've deserted their Jewish beliefs. They've probably turned aside from their pagan beliefs, and nobody likes somebody who turns away from what is socially acceptable. So, like any group that's under persecution, and we know they're under persecution because Saul was one of the chief persecutors before he met Christ and became Paul the Apostle. And that persecution is going on all the time. They're going to have lost their jobs. There's going to be people who are excluded from their communities. They're going to be in a bad way. And we all know what happens when things go wrong at a macro level, that the people who are on the edges are the ones who suffer the most. Because not many communities are good at looking after the people who are vulnerable. We look after the ones who can kick back at us if we don't look after them. The vulnerable people get forgotten. So the Judean Christians are in a difficult spot. Not only that, of course, they're following Christ. They're following Jesus Christ. And the Romans have executed him on a cross as a person who's a would-be contender for the throne. You know, this is the King of the Jews. So they're not going to be very popular with the Romans. They're not going to be very popular with the Jews. And only a few years after this happens, there's the great uprising in Judea, and Jerusalem is wiped out. The slaughter of the Jewish people was terrible. So it's a hotbed. So the Judean Christians are going to be copping it from every side. They know in Antioch that they're in trouble. So the first question they're asking is, what do we do about it? And one of the things that they knew was that they are all one in Christ. This isn't a nice maxim that they've taken on as a collective. We belong to each other. This is an expression of their understanding of what the world is all about in the kingdom of God. We are one in Christ. Doesn't simply mean we're a team and we've got to look after each other. It's an understanding of the way the cosmos is created by God and the way we are to be. So they want to act that out. They've asked the question, who's in trouble? The Christians in Judea. How can we help? What do we need to do? And who do we send? Here in this pandemic, the same kind of questions come to us as Christians. But there's something very interesting going on here. This collective we, this inclusive us, isn't just an accident of grammar. It's actually something that stands in the face of our own cultural individualism. That cultural individualism that says that the task and the purpose is to climb on top of the pile. I think in Christian faith, the question isn't, how do I climb on top of the pile? The question is, how do I lift other people up from the bottom of the pile? And it all comes out of this understanding that all things are knitted together in Christ, that this is God's world that God loves. And if we're acting out the kingdom of God, then we do that too. So the question in the pandemic is, who's in trouble? What do we need to do to help? Who do we send? That's the questions that Tom Wright puts in his book, God and the Pandemic. It's no different now to what it was then. Yeah, think about the Lord's Prayer that we looked at last week. It's very collective. Christianity keeps taking us back to our union together. We are loved by God. I am included in that we. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Give us this day our daily bread. The we, the us, is not incidental. It's a challenge to our own culture. And it's a challenge to us in the way we live out our Christian faith. The church is not an organization. It is a statement of us together, a part of the kingdom of God, the inclusiveness of the kingdom that wraps us all up in the loving arms of Christ. In a moment, we're going to move to communion, and we're going to start that part of our worship today with the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. May the blessing of Christ, may the presence of Christ keep us wrapped up in God's loving arms, whatever we are facing together in this pandemic.
Take a moment to look at your hands. Your palms. Your fingers. Your knuckles, your fingertips, your fingernails, what do you notice? I invite you to place your hands in a comfortable place. Maybe that place is on a table in front of you or in your lap or maybe in a praying position. As we pray, notice your hands. We think of the times when our hands have served others and the times when others' hands have served us. And we are thankful. We think of the times when our hands have comforted others and the times when others' hands have comforted us. And we are thankful. We think of the times when our hands have welcomed others and the times when others' hands have welcomed us. And we are thankful. We think of the times when our hands have helped others, and the times when others' hands have helped us. And we are thankful. We think of the times when our hands have joined with others' hands to fight for justice and equality. And we are thankful. We are thankful, God, for the many opportunities we have to use our hands to hold, to share, to acknowledge, to love, and to give. And we pray that our hands will contribute to peace, to reconciliation, and to healing in this world. Amen.
We're going to share in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Our God, we lift our hearts to you. In your love for us, you sent us Jesus Christ, your Son, to show us that we belong to you, to show us that we are a part of you, to show us that together we are held in your loving arms. You gave us hope in life. You gave us direction in living. You gave us hope for life beyond what we know. And you gave us hope for the future of all creation. And so we give you our thanks in Christ's name. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I received what I also delivered to you, that on the night when he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, take and eat, this is my body broken for you. And then after the supper, he took a cup and giving thanks, he passed it to them saying, take and drink of this, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you. And St. Paul wrote, as often as you take this bread, as often as you take this cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes. We do as he's asked us to do. We take the bread. We break it. We remember Christ broken for us. We take the cup and we remember his life poured out for us. We put these things apart from their normal use. They are for us symbols of Christ's life broken and poured out for us. The things of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Whoever you are, you're welcome here because Christ loves you. You are God's creation. The image of God is in you. And by the Spirit of Christ, set free to reflect God back to creation wherever your feet take you. These are the things of the earth. Christ is there. In the things of the earth, Christ is in you. You might like to take some bread and share the body of Christ broken for you. cup we take is the life of Christ in us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that in your love for us, you are one with us. We thank you that in your love for us, we are one in you. Now be with us as we go out to live our lives in your name and for your purposes. We commit ourselves to you in Christ's name. So now, the love of God go with you. The grace of Christ emanate from you. The peace of Christ keep your hearts and minds. The presence of Christ, the light of the world, guide your footsteps, now and forever. Amen.